Today we're focusing in this part of the program on predictions in the field of human resources with Paul Rousen, my friend from World at Work. And Paul, it's great to talk to you. Hope you're ready for the holidays.
Doing my best. And looking forward to it.
All right, well, hang in there. And you've got some pretty meaty predictions for 2011. What is on your mind as we come to the end of this year and get ready for the new one in federal HR matters?
Well, I think every year, every employee, every manager, and every HR person takes an inventory of the prior year and really looks forward to what's ahead in the coming year and maps out a lot of their own initiatives and takes a look at what they have to look ahead to or look forward to or dread. And there's a lot of things going on right now in the federal workforce, as well as some things in the private sector, which I think can be pose challenges to HR and their ability to help managers and employees get the most out of the workforce in the 2011 landscape.
All right. One of your predictions is that with pay frozen, expect HR to be under siege with exception requests for dual compensation waivers. Why do you think that's something we'll see a lot more of in 2011?
Well, the fact of the matter is that people will be still working very hard and sometimes with fewer resources. And managers will be managing people that they know have exceptionally high demand skills and are performing their jobs very well. And it's kind of hard to take care of folks and make sure that you're retaining them and keeping them motivated when you don't have pay as an option. So I think what you'll typically see happen in companies, and you'll see it happen in the federal government, is managers making a plea for why their particular employee is different and more qualified, and why they need this exception and why they need waivers in order to keep that employee engaged or actually even keep them employed and not seek employment elsewhere.
Now, one of the things that you and I talked about when we were here before, when you were here last time, right after this pay freeze idea came out and the president proposed it, there's nothing in what the president's proposed that would prohibit managers from moving their people around within the steps, from what we understand. Now, that could potentially change once word gets around that that loophole kind of still exists, but it is a loophole, isn't it?
Well, you know, once again, people will do whatever is available to them and use whatever resources they have to take very best care of their top performers. And we see that happen in almost every workplace that we're in. And so if you provide managers the opportunity, they'll take advantage of it. They know who their top performers are, and they know what it takes to attract, motivate, and retain them. So where there are quote unquote loopholes, those will be taken advantage of.
Another idea that you and I have talked about in the times that you've been on the show is that we talk a lot and think about and pay a lot of attention to recruitment in government, and OPM has devoted a lot of energy to streamlining the hiring process and the onboarding process, to making sure that people coming in feel comfortable and know what they're supposed to be doing and so on. And sometimes people think that's at the expense of the retention element, and this is really going to drive managers, from what it sounds like you're saying, to focus a lot more on the retention element, to make sure that they're doing whatever they can and that they know what all their options even are to be able to keep these folks.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, Francis, that losing a good worker costs an organization much more than they traditionally will look at. First of all, you lose their engagement level, so they stop producing. They start looking for work elsewhere, outside of your organization. And while that happens, you know, you're shoveling work to other workers. They finally leave. You hire a new person if you get permission to hire them. That's the other concern. Will you get permission to replace a person that leaves? And then there's the time that it takes to bring that new hire up to full productivity, which sometimes can take 12 to 18 months. So the cost below the waterline is something that most organizations don't typically fathom, and they don't typically measure, but they feel after they've lost a talented individual.
Another prediction that you said over was 2011 will be a trial for federal workplace flexibility. What are the challenges that people are going to see when it comes to workplace flexibility? We've talked about telework, and it seems like we've been talking about the same issues surrounding telework for however long people have been able to telework. But there are a lot of other elements to this, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a whole host of things that are in the flexibility portfolio that managers and organizations have to help their people get work done anywhere, anytime, any place. And this is an area where we at World at Work focus a lot of our attention, and we know that it's not just telework. You can't rest on one particular element of the portfolio. So there's things such as giving people the opportunity to have time off when they need it. There's issues around helping employees, for example, understand that they need maybe some financial services counseling. I mean, a lot of people right now may be dealing with flat income and rising costs that they can't control, but the fact of the matter is they may not be doing the best job of taking care of the money that they're earning. So financial counseling services and other types of resources are all part of flexible workplace and work-life balance that organizations can bring to their workforce. But if it's not something you've done before and it's not something you're necessarily paying attention to, then you may miss some of those opportunities.
The other challenge is, too, you may not have money to pay for a lot of that stuff that you can demonstrate, even if you can demonstrate an ROI, even if you can demonstrate the value to helping to retain the people that you have and create the kind of environment that fits with your first prediction, which is the challenges with retention. You still may not be able to do it, even if you can convince your higher ups that it's something that should be done.
Well, you know, once again, that gets back to another challenge that HR will have, and I've heard this from my colleagues in the federal sector, is that they are looking to be invited to the table where business analytics are used, but they typically don't feel as though they have been tooled and skilled up enough yet in business analytics. And quite frankly, deciding how to reward people, pay people, bring resources to them in exchange for their engagement is a business analytics skill. And, you know, I think it's going to be challenging this year, but every once in a while, you know, you have to walk into your organization and say, as the HR professional, listen, I'm expert in this area. This is the area that you paid me to do my job, and here's what we're going to pay if we don't invest. And people are an investment. They're not simply a cost. If you, even in lean times, you have to realize that your people are still the most worthy investment that you have because they make your business run. They get the mission done.
A little bit later on in our conversation, Paul, I'd like to talk about what skills and attributes HR leaders should be looking to add to their skill sets. They're focused on other people's skill sets a lot. And let's talk about HR leader skill sets for 2011. We've got a little bit. I want to ask you some more about that prediction. And you've got a couple more that we'll touch on when we come back from the break with Paul Rousen of World at Work on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's our 2011 prediction series. We'll be right back.
Attention. If you're attempting to lose weight, please stay tuned for an important opportunity. In a 6-month clinical study, participants lost an average of 30 pounds without changing their eating habits or routine. Now, Sensa is conducting a market trial in this listening area. If you're trying to lose weight, you are eligible to try Sensa free for 30 days. Call 1-800-400-7910 now to request your free trial. Participation in this free trial does not require any dieting, pills, or change in lifestyle. In fact, we only ask that you continue your current eating habits. Just use clinically proven Sensa, the same weight loss breakthrough you've seen on Extra, Dateline NBC, and America's Newsroom. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. If you want to lose weight, you are eligible to participate in this market trial. For your 30-day free trial, you must call this number now. 1-800-400-7910. That's 1-800-400-7910. 1-800-400-7910.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabek. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabek Insider this afternoon. Performance results. You're being pressed to demonstrate results. And the House just passed the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act. We'll talk to its key sponsor about what that means for how you do your job. And we'll continue looking at the big stories of 2010 today. Former Interior CIO Ed Marr about the role of the CIO this afternoon, 3 to 7. On the Dorabek Insider, it's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Rousen is Managing Director of World at Work and my guest for this portion of my 2011 predictions series. Later on in this hour, Robert Shave, Grant Thornton will join me with some predictions from his view on management and productivity in the federal government. And Paul Rousen, of course, of World at Work, particularly knowledgeable and skilled when it comes to HR issues in government. And we were talking before the break, Paul, about 2011 and workplace flexibility, trying to work through managing some of these issues. What will you see the successful people who are able to do that doing to get through this period?
Well, I think one of the first things that needs to happen is flexible work just doesn't happen by accident. It's really a cultural issue. Organizations work very, very hard to build a culture up front that allows flexibility to take place. So we're really going to see a lot of the pressure, and the challenge will be in creating an environment of trust between manager and employee, because after all, these are maybe HR programs, but they're manager and employee relationships that drive workplace flexibility.
Mm-hmm. When you were here last time, we talked a lot about that relationship and the soft skills that managers, some of them have, some of them don't. And we talked about the difference between manager and leader. And we'll get into this conversation a little bit later. But this is a good time, isn't it, for managers to see what resources are available to them when it comes to leadership building and that kind of thing.
I agree, Francis. These will be times in which the managers who have this ability to lead and be flexible and to be responsive and good communicators and set up expectations and accountability at the same time, flexibility, accountability with flexibility. This is an opportunity for managers to actually emerge and show some of the skills that really position them well for promotion in the future. A top-level manager must be able to lead by influence, not just by their title. And this will be an opportunity to test those skills, develop those skills. And I think the most important thing is that top management in HR needs to be in a position to help support, foster, recognize, and reward those managers who step up during this time.
The analogy to me, Paul, seems to be kind of along the lines of what some companies were doing staffing-wise during the recession, when some companies were laying people off and they were starting to cut muscle and not just fat. And a number of companies were out there saying, you know what, we can get people, we can get talent at a better price than we could during good economic times, and there's a lot more of it available. And so we're going to invest now, even though times are a little tight, and it will pay dividends when things are better. And you can almost use that same approach if you're a leader in government as far as investing in yourself. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Just about every person out there that's ever become rich has done it in times in which there is maybe the greatest economic pressure. You know, when the economy is flat or opportunities are limited, that's when top organizations, top managers typically rise to the top, and they actually have a chance to be more visible. They stand out more during these times than when everything is operating without pressure.
Paul Rousen's the Managing Director of World at Work, and he's got his 2011 predictions as part of my prediction series on In Depth with Francis Rose. We're going to post your predictions at federalnewsradio.com later this afternoon, Paul, so everybody can review them along with the audio of our conversation. Your third prediction is that employee engagement will drop, and the 2011 Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey will be a lead indicator of what we might expect to come in 2012 if pay and budgets remain frozen. Is it though, when these surveys come out, isn't it almost too late at that point? Isn't it kind of the turning the battleship analogy?
Well, yeah. In other words, this is like you've been pulled over and you've got a speeding ticket. You've already exceeded the speed limit.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that that's why I'm predicting this. I'm saying I've seen this happen in 30 years of HR experience. You know, you dread seeing the next employee survey when you know you're headed into stormy seas. But mm-hmm. The fact of the matter, the alternative is sticking your head in the sand and not paying attention to it. So I think the real issue will be you can expect a drop. When employees are nervous and times are unsure and they lose control, they lose engagement level. And so the interesting thing is, though, that during these times, if we take a look at this Federal Employment Viewpoint Survey in 2011 and we take a look at best places to work, it'll be really important to pay attention to which agencies and associations did the very best under these circumstances and take a lesson from their playbook. So once again, I'm always looking to make, lemonade out of lemons. If this is a bad situation, let's make this an opportunity to learn. Let's give each other a chance to communicate well and get and plan around this. And let's be proactive about it versus let's wait to get shellacked by it.
All right, let's make some lemonade. Let's give some people who are thinking about these issues and saying, wait a minute, I understand that's what needs to be done, but I'm not sure how to go about it. What skills or attributes should I be looking to add to my toolbox personally, the things that I'm able to do? We talked a little bit about leadership training and learning more about how to be a leader as opposed to a manager. But what else should I be filling my brain with if I want to try to excel during these tough times in the HR field in government?
Well, if I'm in HR right now, I really do want to try to think, how would I manage this if this was my own mission, my own business, and take ownership over that and really be thinking about all the things that might affect how employees will get their work done and function in an environment with limited resources. And so that ability to be able to look at things from an analytical standpoint and then think about the business impact and be able to create business case scenarios that senior management and employees can even understand and say, you know, this is the cause and effect of this type of environment. Here's what can happen if we do this well. Here's what might happen if we don't. Let me paint a picture of what the future might look like if we did nothing. And being able to do that, coupled with also the ability to influence and negotiate. I think HR has to really understand that it's now an opportunity where they can't get this work done themselves, but they can help in the negotiation and the influencing of the direction in which a lot of thinking goes around how people will be rewarded and motivated during these times. And then finally, I think HR needs to set an example in terms of good communication. I think almost in every environment, the absence of information, people invent their own stories. And so the ability to be a nudger of being a lead communicator, I think is important. Supporting senior management in their communications so that those communications are on point and are speaking to the whole workforce. I think communication during these times is going to be absolutely key. So business analytics, influencing and negotiation, and excellent communication skills are the skills that HR needs to have to provide leadership during these times.
Paul Rouse in The World at Work, excellent predictions and excellent insight as always. It's great to talk to you, and I'll look forward to talking to you more in 2011.
Thank you, Marantz. Appreciate being on the show again.